Hey friends, coming up on Fire Moment, we're continuing talking about faith. Pastor Donnie Hinkle's with me on the program, and we're having a great discussion and teaching today, building your faith and helping you where you're at. All you may be surrounded with is trouble and difficulty and circumstances that are going against the Word of God. But today we're discussing and talking and helping you so that what is around you doesn't overwhelm you, but that the Word of God coming into your life will come out of your life and dispel the darkness and trouble. So stay tuned for today's Fire Moment.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, it's Fire Moments with Pastor Adam Lawson. Get your Bible ready, get your notebook ready, and get your heart ready to receive the Word of God. We pray that the fire of God would consume your life as you hear the anointed Word of God. And now, Pastor Adam.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being with us today on the program. The last few weeks, we've been having a teaching and discussion on faith, and we're going to continue that today. Last week, Pastor Donnie Hinkle from Harvest Baptist Church in Jennings, Maryland, was with us, and he's going to be back today as we continue to talk about faith, because we needed a little bit more time last week. We really just talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was still about faith, Pastor Donnie, but yes. We wanted to dedicate some more time to it. So thanks for being here on the program.
Thank you again.
Appreciate it, as you all know. And if you haven't, if you missed or you didn't know, Pastor Donnie also works with us here at the church as a production manager for this program and our Sunday morning live program and all of that, so we appreciate what he does there.
I'm busy.
Yeah. we wear many hats here at this ministry. So if you do one thing, you do five at least. So thanks for being back today.
Thank you.
We're going to work and see if we can get into talking about faith a little bit more. Last week, on the last program, we were sharing more about a hunger and a desire and about the moving of the Spirit of God right now in this area and around the world. But yet it all does come back to faith, because in order to really see a moving of the Spirit, you really have to have a heart of faith, believing that that's the heart of God, and He desires, one, to move, and then secondly, to move in all the various ways that we see a manifestation of, whether it's healing or deliverance or salvation.
Yes.
Even to be saved takes faith.
You better believe it.
Faith is the center point of everything that we do as Christians, as believers, disciples of Christ.
And without faith, it is impossible. It's not negotiable with God. It's impossible to please God without it. So it is something that we have to have. You're right. We don't come to Christ even without faith. And we've been often given the measure of faith. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of scriptures talk about faith. And I've always said that there's only one time that Jesus was ever impressed with anybody, and that was over their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get caught up into so many other areas. But really, if you don't have faith and you're not walking in faith, you're not pleasing God.
Right.
Things can't happen. Because if God is spirit, then He can only operate through things of the Spirit. And so faith is something that operates outside of our natural realm. And so that operates in the spiritual realm. So without faith, you're not operating and pleasing God.
Right.
So got to have it.
Amen. And really, when it says to please God, that means to please means to be in agreement with God, meaning that you agree with God, God agrees with you. And so there's an agreement or a joining at that point. When we please God, you know, it means in the Greek that we're in agreement, which is essential that, you know, we can't be at odds with God or not agree with God to please Him, but our faith is what does please God, and He responds to that. You know, that's why, you know, when we're believing for faith, as you have faith to believe for God, you know, He is pleased, and in turn, then He brings healing or deliverance or the answer to it, and we're saved by faith. So the same manner in which we got saved is that same faith that we need to have, that we go by the same thing for healing.
Yes.
So many people think that to be healed or anything else that we have a need for that need to be met, it's different, but it's the process is the same.
It's all faith.
You know, you pray a sinner's prayer by faith, believing that you're saved, and we pray the prayer of faith, and by that we're healed. And so faith is faith. It's just having it and operating within it. As I said last week, you know, faith doesn't have a plan B.
That's right. Amen. You know? Amen. You know, faith, there is the faith, and there's faith, and there's walking in faith, and there's all kind. But, you know, the Bible talks about in Habakkuk about the just lives by his faith. Mm-hmm. And that goes beyond just faith. That's a part of making it personal, walking in it. It's not just faith somewhere out there. It's not something somebody taught me. It's not something someone else agrees. You know, you're talking about pleasing God. It's a place of coming into an agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, when you walk in your faith, it means you're coming into an agreement with God. Because God, someone told me this years ago, and it's always stuck. God and the devil both want you to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But for different reasons.
Right.
You know, and so when we agree with God and we please God, we begin to mature in our faith and we begin to walk in our faith. We become more mature in our walk. It's not just I believe it because the preacher told it to me or because it's our doctrine of faith.
Right.
You know, it's our statement of faith that we have posted wherever. And that's, I'm not saying those things are bad, but you can't, I can't walk this Christian walk based upon what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if you believe it and I don't, well, how can two walk together unless they agree is what Scripture says.
Right.
And so it has to be a part of coming into our faith mm-hmm. and maturing in it, that we make it personal, that that's what I believe and I'm agreeing mm-hmm. with God in it.
Amen.
So Amen. That just really struck me. Paul in Romans 1:17, he actually quotes that same scripture, but he leaves out the his. I don't understand why. It's still part of it, but he says the just will live by faith. But Habakkuk was going through a personal trial of his own.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and read the book of Habakkuk, he was going through a personal trial of his own, and he was disagreeing with God at that moment until God began to change his heart. And so he says that the just, in Habakkuk 2:4, the just will live by his faith. And there you can see a turning point in his prayers. There you can see a turning point. Before that, he was complaining to God. Look at what they're doing to Israel. Look, oh, God, you're better than this. Oh, well, you know, we come to God and we grumble and we gripe and we complain. But when we start walking in our faith, we start walking in agreement with God, then our prayer begins to change. It's no longer, God, why aren't you doing these things? To the point where it changes our prayer to, God, I don't care what else happens. I'm still, because he talks about at the end of Habakkuk, no matter what happens, can I quote this?
Mm-hmm.
Habakkuk chapter 3, he says, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. His prayer changes from, God, you're not doing this the right way. But when his faith comes into agreement with God, God, no matter what I see in the natural, no matter what I see happening, God, I'm still going to rejoice in you. Why? Because you're still God. You're still God no matter if I don't see it in the natural, I know by faith what you're doing. And it may not come out the way I think it should come out, but I know it's going to come out exactly how you want it to come out.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. You know, not going by the circumstances which we see, the tangible things, but you know, faith always defies those things,
yes.
You know, whatever our surroundings are. You know, over the number of weeks I was doing a series on the mind and really getting our minds right and out of negative thinking and overcoming the battle in our mind that we've heard of it. And it's really essential because often our minds in their independent state don't operate from a position of faith.
Mm.
But the Bible says that it's our soul. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so it's important that we get our minds, you know, thinking the things of God and meditating on the Word of God. Because otherwise, like you said, we go to God from a position of grumbling and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
But if we know the Word and we're standing on the Word of God, you know, we don't go to God with that. Instead, we go to God in a position of confidence.
Yes.
You know, and faith has everything to do with confidence. You know, if I have faith that I'm confident that God will see me through, that that His Word will manifest into my life. And through the series that I was doing on the mind and the head, is that we have to understand that, you know, the Bible says that, that He anoints our head, and then it goes to the chin beard, and then to the loincloth.
Yeah.
And so, in order to be anointed, you have to have something to be anointed, which is our head. And so our head has to really have the anointing of God released upon it. And so it's you and I conditioning our minds and using the Word of God so that we have something to stand on. You know, I've watched so many people just not fully standing on the Word of God and not having a belief that God will answer their prayer like somebody else's, but instead really reading the Word and understanding that it's God is not a respecter of people. He's a respecter of faith. And so when He sees faith, God moves.
Yes.
No matter who it is. And so God's not interested in any of the things that happened before that or all the events around. God is just looking for faith.
Yes.
And that's what God responds to. And so it's important that we have that understanding and that one, that we allow and put ourselves in a position where our mind is anointed.
Yes.
You know, that above all, that my mind is anointed, you know. And knowing that, you know, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And yet a lot of people are always in the battle of faith and fear. You know, if you don't have faith, the reason that often our faith is struggling is because we're standing in a position of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the position of fear is because of we are believing the events that are around us, the current circumstance or situation.
Yes.
And so therefore, you know, we're operating from a position of fear, not believing that God can or He will or that He won't. So it's fear, and so the devil operates from fear. God operates from faith, and so you know, if we're going to allow fear in our life, then that's evidence that we've lent our ear to the enemy,
yes.
or that we'd rather believe the surroundings and environment that we're in versus the Word of God, because God's Word will always oppose the world. It always opposes
sure
what the world presents,
yes.
What the enemy uses, and the enemy uses. The world, the environment that we're in, where God's Word, I mean, everything about it opposes everything the world says, whether even down to tithing, that, you know, in the natural sense, it doesn't make any sense to give God your 10%. Yeah. But God says, give it.
Yes.
You know, in the natural sense, you know, it doesn't make sense that just to believe that a God that we can't see is going to heal us or save us, you know. But yet, the kingdom principles always oppose our natural, the way we live in this world. And so it's about faith. You know, the Bible says He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And there's the mind again, that faith has a lot to do with our mind. You know, it's not that, it's that our mind being conditioned and renewed,
yes.
with the Word of God. You know, I've heard people say that, you know, faith surpasses your mind. But see, I believe that faith there's a connection there.
Yes.
That my mind has to be conditioned and renewed, because the Romans says to us that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
The Bible says that we serve the Lord with our mind. And so it is important that our mind, you know, being in a position of faith doesn't mean that I just, you know, it bypasses my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it, you know, faith and the Word of God, it renews my mind. To me, when I renew my mind, I bring assurance or
yes.
backup to my faith.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That you know, we can't just allow our mind to shut down when I go into a position of faith, because I need to be able to have a knowledge of what God did and how God moves. And so I renew my mind, you know, with the Word of God, which then helps me to stand on the Word of God. He says, after doing all, stand therefore.
Yes.
So,
you know, it's, you know, God does not override our mind. He does. He transforms our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in that, because Paul said, I am confident in this very thing, that He who promised is also faithful. See, his mind was conditioned by faith that, even though I may not see it, he was in jail at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what I should see, but I'm confident. In other words, faith has come up on me, and my mind is now operating in faith that He who promised is faithful. No matter what I see in the natural, my mind now has been transformed by the renewing of the water and the word. So my mind is being transformed now. So even though I don't see it, I'm confident in it. Mm-hmm. I'm confident that he who promised is faithful. Amen. That's where the maturity of faith comes in. Walking not in what someone's told you, but what you have now experienced, because it's now transforming your mind. Because you can't transform my mind.
Right.
You can give me the word. But until that word is moved upon and moved in my mind and moved by the Holy Spirit, it can't transform me.
Right.
And so I have to be transformed. I can't just go by what you say or what anybody else says. It has to transform my thinking. Mm-hmm. And so then, after that happens, then I can be confident in this very thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Man, and I believe that our faith is something that it grows over time.
It does.
Just like, you know, as we exercise, you know, you don't, on your first day of going and exercising, you don't overdo it and go try to lift 300 pounds, you know, that you condition yourself and you work up to that. Our faith is like that in the matter of that, you know, if you haven't believed God for $1,000 before, start with 20, you know, it's growing. And as we see God answer and move, then we believe him for more and more. And that's the analogy I always give with people is finances, because we all understand it. And all of us at some time or another have had a financial need. And so if you've never believed God for $50, don't try to believe him for $500, because it's about the level of faith in which we have. And so our faith grows over time as we see God move, as we see him move on our behalf or move around us, with healing and whatnot. And so I just encourage people to start believing God where they're at.
Yes.
You know, that just because they are worship with me and they see me, you know, believe in God for total healing, or see me believing God for $10,000, that for them to just believe God where they're at. And I watch so many believers get discouraged.
Yes.
Because God didn't answer or answer in the time frame where it didn't come how they wanted. And so they, you know, often go into a depression and then start doubting God and not really believing that God's there and all sorts of things, where we just got to believe God where we're at and watch him move. And he does it every time. You know, then I'm not operating from a position of fear. If I learn to believe God for $20, then I can believe God for $200. And I'm believing him for where I'm at instead of being in a position of fear. Mm-hmm. That fear doesn't have to control my life.
That's,
you know,
right.
Fear doesn't have to guide me and cause me to live terrified, that if God doesn't move or out of fear, then I have a plan B, but that I believe God for where I'm at. And that faith grows as we serve God.
It does. And that's part of it being active. It's like those muscles you were talking about. When it becomes, the more you use them, the bigger they get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a baby is born with muscles, but not the muscles of an adult.
Right.
What happened? You fed it. And they exercise those muscles. And eventually, you know, it's the progression of a child, you know, they begin to stand up. And they begin to walk and run. And, you know, they begin to move. Why? Because they begin to exercise those. You know, new believers. However, you know, I see sometimes new believers seem to have an abundance of faith. They'll believe in God for anything.
Yeah.
You know, they may fall. And that's part of a pastor, and those around them have to, you know, because every baby falls when they first start walking. And so they may have problems and they may not see the answer, but that's where our job is, to come around them and to hold them up and to lift them up and to say, you know what? It's okay. We'll get you to the next step. You know, pretty soon you're going to be running now with this, you know? And so it's all part of developing our faith. One of my favorite sayings is that truth overrides fact. Because fact will say you're hurting. Fact
right.
will say your checkbook's empty. Fact will say you're unemployed. Fact will say this, this, or this. But truth overrides that. Truth says that all of my needs have been met in Christ Jesus. But how can you do that? How can you walk in truth? John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how can we walk in that without having faith? You know, how can I walk believing that, you know, when you see one thing happening, when you see a person that's ill, how can you believe that God can heal them? Unless you understand by faith what the Word of God says, that Isaiah and Peter both declared, by the stripes of Jesus Christ we were healed. That's not natural. Mm-hmm. That's not natural when you see someone ill to be able to start quoting the Word. How can the Word change somebody's health? How does it change it? By faith. Mm-hmm. Because when you see those two scriptures in line, Isaiah and Peter both declared that by the stripes we're healed.
Right.
And so when you begin to see that and you begin to walk in faith, then our faith begins to mature and you're going to see God do those things. I believe in the end times we're going to see even more of those things happening. Oh, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see God do those things. But I have faith because I've been praying for it and believing for it for a long time. I've been a Christian for a long time. You know, I believe God to do those things. And maybe people have been praying for something for a long time and haven't seen the results. Keep walking in faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
and hearing the word of God. So, you know, we have to hear the word. You know, in order to have faith, you have to be renewed by the word of God. You know, this scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 35, and this is the Amplified version, but it says, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward." In other words, when we stop having confidence in the Word, we stop the manifestation we desire from it.
Yes.
So when we don't allow ourselves to be in a position of faith, we disable the manifestation. You know, when we're not operating from a place of faith, in order to ensure that we can be people that walk in faith, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Just by hearing the Word, by being in the Word, it brings an increase of faith to us. To allow us to believe for things, to allow us to not be tripped up by circumstance and situation, so that, you know, the enemy doesn't bring distraction and destruction to us while things are going on around us. You know, that we're not going to be consumed of the temporary circumstances or what isn't happening. But it's imperative that we are, you know, staying in the Word of God, because that is where our faith comes. The gas for which we run comes from the Word of God. The only way your car runs is with fuel in the tank, unless, of course, you have an electric car. And then, of course, it's fuel, you know. So, you know, that's what, in order for our faith to operate, we have to have the Word of God. You know, Jesus, even when he was confronted with Satan in the desert, uh-huh. You know, what did Jesus continue to say to the devil? It is written. What? The Word.
The Word.
You know, right to the enemy. You know, he didn't get tempted with food or any of these things. Jesus just kept saying, "It is written, it is written." And if we would know the Word and have the Word so available to us and in us, we would be able to respond to the enemy. We'd be able to respond to those things opposing the Word of God. Yes. My pain, our sickness, it is written.
It is written.
You know, and that settles it. Yes. You know, the Word of God settles it.
That's right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, John 1:1, that the Word of God has power. The Word of God, it still works. You know, I always say the Word works if you work the Word.
True.
But you can't work the Word if you don't know the Word.
True.
You know, and so we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. And it can't be something that I just do on Sunday or
no.
Wednesday. Or
no.
You know, I know people that they attend Wednesday and they attend Sunday, but they don't open the Word. They're not conditioned with the Word. They haven't exercised their faith beyond that. It's just become a religious part of their life. They check in and check out. But the Word is not a part of them. They're not one with the Word.
Yes.
You know? And I think it's we have to be able to come in connection where we and the Word with God are one, that we're connected in such a manner that when I speak, as we're speaking now, the Word comes forth. And that it's just not a part of when I get up and before a congregation or in front of a camera, that the Word is a part of me, so it comes out of me in response to what I'm confronted with, whether that's a situation or a circumstance or a person or trouble, that the Word is what responds.
Absolutely.
To it, not me. Like, you know, the worst thing we can do is react to a situation. Instead, the Word has called us to respond. Well, as a Christian, you respond to it with the Word, mm-hmm. not with emotion.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to respond to it with anger or sorrow or grief. My response is from a position of faith.
Yes, Absolutely. You know, and having the word is so important, because if it's not in us, it can't come out of us. Mm-hmm. But also another thing, we have to surround ourselves with faith people. Because if we're not, you know, you can read the Bible, but, you know, then if I go to you and you counteract what the word says, then that's creating a confusion, a diversity in my mind.
Right.
You know, and that creates a conflict. And so you have to have people that are around you that are speaking the word.
Amen.
Because if not, there's that conflict in it. And so you have to, if you're in a church that's not speaking faith, if your pastor's not speaking faith, well, pray for him, because he needs to be speaking faith.
Amen. You know, when we get in trouble, I've always watched people, they reach down for help. And I tell this with leaders always, you always reach up.
Yes.
You know, to someone above where we are, deeper in the Word of God, or a leader. You know, if a leader's having problems, they reach up to another leader. You know, that if you are, especially in your day-to-day living, if you're having trouble and struggling in faith, always reach up. Don't reach laterally. Don't reach across to someone, because you don't know exactly where they are. And I want to reach up and know that what I'm reaching to, that they're going to pour something more into me.
Yes.
Because often when we reach across like that we end up reaching across and we get someone who builds the case of the circumstance against us, you know, and which isn't the word of God. You know, I've watched, and I have believers who reach out and get advice from people of the world, and here they are a believer. And I mean, I just had this happen. Someone who's a believer getting advice from someone in the world for their marriage. And what is wrong with you doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But if faith is essential. And Pastor Donnie, we have just a final moment. And so, in the program, and so I just want you to give them a closing thought, and before we gotta go, but give them a closing thought, encourage them about faith.
Well, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not yet seen. And so I just want to encourage you today that even though you don't see it, even though you don't see the in the natural, it's not happening, I encourage you to walk by faith. Faith is the substance. It's the element of what you've hoped for.
Yes.
It's the very organism, the atom of what you've hoped for. And it's evidence of something that you haven't even seen yet. So walk in faith, because faith is those things.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Donnie, for being here again. Friends, until next time, may the fire of God consume your life. Goodbye.